Adventures in Research. France was in revolt. At home, there was turmoil. Abroad, she found herself attacked by a coalition of her neighbors intent on crushing her. Against this background of turbulence, Claude Schaap developed a method of communication which seemed almost as revolutionary as the age in which he lived. This is Paul Shannon bringing you another transcribed story of science, produced as a public service in cooperation with the Westinghouse Research Laboratories. When we hear the word telegraph today, we think of an electromagnet activating a sounder to make metallic clicks. Yet, in one form or another, telegraphy is as old as time itself.
The news of the fall of Troy was relayed back to Greece by signal fires.
The American Indian signaled with puffs of smoke.
For centuries, African tribes have signaled by the beat of drums.
And in 1791, in a small French village inn, a young man named Claude Schaap showed a strange-looking model to his brother Ignatius. It was a device that looked something like a modern television antenna.
It is simply an upright post on the top of which is fastened this crossbar. See, Ignatius?
I see.
At either end of the crossbar, I've put two smaller arms which work on pivots.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you will observe that the crossbar and the two small arms are connected to the bottom of the upright post by pulleys. By means of these pulleys, I can move the crossbar and the two small arms up or down as I choose.
Well?
Well, now suppose I keep the crossbar horizontal, but move the left arm up so that it's perpendicular to the cross arm, thus. Then I move the right arm straight down this way. Ah, what do you see?
All I see is a cross arm with two small arms, one pointing up, the other pointing down.
But, Ignatius, what if that represented the letter A? And if another combination of positions could be B and C, and so on for the entire alphabet?
Claude, sometimes I don't understand you. Great things are stirring, powerful forces are at work. And how do you occupy your mind with a little toy that makes the alphabet?
What would you have me do?
Interest yourself in politics.
Oh, politics bore me.
I see. Yesterday, the king attempted to flee from France and was captured and brought back to Paris. I suppose that bores you, too?
Certainly.
But why?
Because the king is a ninny, a fool.
For once we agree. Now, for a change, listen to me. I expect Citizen Delaunay here any minute. We are planning great things, not cross arms which move up and down.
What, for example?
My election as deputy to the Legislative Assembly.
Good. Good. When you become a deputy, you can propose that they adopt my signaling system.
That thing again. How in the name of heaven could that be a signaling system?
By placing one of them on high ground every 10 miles. A man can see for 10 miles, you know.
Ah. Turn your thoughts to better things. Help me to become a deputy. I will make it worth your while. Now, what do you say? Will you help?
I will think about it.
Good. That is better than nothing.
Oh, the Schaap brothers. Good evening, citizen.
Good evening, Citizen Delaunay. You and Claude know each other?
But of course. What on earth is that strange-looking thing?
It is something my brother thinks is merely an amusing toy.
Evidently, you do not share his opinion.
No, not at all. Especially since I made this model myself.
Oh? And what does it do?
It can be used to send messages. Look, I will make the letter A.
Oh.
You see? Now B. Now C. My idea is to have a series of these machines 10 miles apart, all over France. Well, what do you think?
Ingenious, my friend. Quite ingenious.
Delaunay, you are not going to encourage him.
But of course. Until recently, I was a member of the diplomatic service, and I know only too well the importance of speedy communications. Claude, I think this will work. And with your permission, I'd like to work with you. Perhaps suggest a few improvements. How will that be?
Oh, excellent, citizen. And may I say it is a pleasure to find one man whose head turns to something more than than politics.
It has been my experience, Claude, that it is better not to send messages letter by letter. That's much too slow. Besides, it increases the possibilities for error.
And what do you suggest?
Here's the table of signals I used in the King's Diplomatic Service. I see no reason why it cannot be changed and used for our cause. Look at it. Open it at any page.
Why, it's nothing but a series of numbers with phrases after them.
Correct. Read what it says after the number one, for example.
Number one. I have a message for you.
Continue.
Number two, please give me the following information. Number three, please communicate this message to the General of the Armies.
Understand? Instead of using your machine to send one letter at a time, we will use it to send one number at a time.
Ah, clever.
Each operator will have the same table of signals. All he has to do is look at his table and find out what each number means.
Of course. In that way, we can quickly send phrases and whole sentences instead of just single letters.
Exactly. This will be particularly important to military operations. With the Austrians moving on us from one side and the Prussians from another, speedy communications are vitally important.
Indeed. What is our next step?
We must get your brother Ignatius elected to the Legislative Assembly. Once that happens, he can propose that the government adopt this system. Simple, is it not?
So simple, I never thought of it. Delaunay, I can see that you must indeed have been a good diplomat.
Ignatius Schaap was elected deputy to the Legislative Assembly. Through his influence, Claude Schaap addressed that body, explained the operation of his machine, and told of its advantages. The result was official permission to make a demonstration. Schaap set up two stations, one some 10 miles from Paris, the other on high ground in the city itself. But it was 1791, and the government discovered more evidence that the royal family was intriguing with the enemies of France. On the night before the demonstration was to take place, an angry Parisian mob gathered about the strange-looking machine.
I say, I don't like the looks of it.
Nor I. There's some sort of trickery here.
The police say it's a new method of communication. I'd like to know what kind of communication.
Yes, and who's doing the communicating?
If you ask me, the king's doing it. Communicating with our enemies.
Yes, that's right.
And the king's a traitor.
Let's destroy it now.
Events were moving quickly, not only for Claude Schaap, but for all of France. Dissension arose in the Legislative Assembly. It finally had to vote itself out of existence and turn its authority over to a new lawmaking body called the Convention. On September 22nd, 1792, the Convention abolished the monarchy and proclaimed the Republic. This time, while France trembled in the grip of the Reign of Terror, the armies of Austria and Prussia gained victory after victory. Against such a background, Claude Schaap spoke before a session of the convention.
And so I propose to build a line of signal stations from the city of Paris north to the city of Lille on the border of the Austrian Netherlands. My plan calls for one station every 10 miles. In this way, we can keep in constant communication with our armies there. And we shall have instant information on every move the Austrians make. I ask the convention to grant the necessary funds.
Citizen Schaap, I have a question.
Yes, Citizen President.
We have heard your plan and we find it most enterprising, but there is much work to be done. Who will superintend the building of these signal stations?
I will.
And who will train the operators?
I will personally.
Very good. Citizens, I need hardly remind you of the gravity of the military situation. Should the Austrians defeat our army at Lille, the path to Paris will be open. Citizen Schaap offers us a quick and effective method of communicating with our armies, of deploying our forces wherever they are needed. In this grave hour, we dare not ignore his plan. And so I propose that the necessary funds be appropriated and that Citizen Schaap embark on his project at once. All in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
It took almost a year to build the 130-mile line of stations. A year during which Schaap personally supervised almost every detail. On each signaling machine, the upright post was 30 feet high, the cross arm 14 feet long, 13 inches wide, and 2 inches thick. The small arms at both ends of each cross arm were 6 feet long, 1 foot wide, and 1 inch thick. And during this year, the French armies became, for the first time, a disciplined fighting force. They managed to stop the enemy, but it was still too early to tell whether they could drive him back. On August 15, 1794, a French general decided to try. Facing the Austrians at the little town of Le Quesnoy, he gave the order to attack. At the signal station in Paris, two men waited tensely. Two men, Schaap and Delaunay.
Nothing yet?
No, nothing.
Do the operators understand their instructions?
To the letter. The man at Lille will send the first number to station B. B will immediately relay the number to C, and so on until it reaches us. Then Lille will send his second number. It will be relayed. In this way, all stations will get the message number by number.
Good.
Delaunay, look. A signal.
What number?
14. Quickly, look it up. Look it up.
14. Yes. That stands for our troops. What next?
32.
Yes, 32 have entered the town of... Our troops have entered the town
here's,
of...
Here's another.
What number?
I can't tell whether it's 62 or 64.
No,
wait, it's 64.
64 is Le Quesnoy. Our troops have entered the town of Le Quesnoy. Is there more?
23.
23 stands for the enemy.
Now, 41.
In full retreat. The enemy in full retreat.
33.
33 is long live the Republic. Claude, what news? Our troops have entered the town of Le Quesnoy. The enemy in full retreat. Long live the Republic.
And so, for the first time in history, the outcome of a battle was known 130 miles away, only 1 hour after the victory. Soon, Schaap's system was introduced throughout all Europe. True, it was a crude, slow, cumbersome system, effective only on clear days. True, too, it was never very successful or widely adopted, but it did help point the way from jungle drums and smoke signals to the telegraph, telephone, and radio. So although the world had to wait for Morse, Bell, and Marconi to provide truly effective communication, Claude Schaap's signaling machine was a workable stopgap. Indeed, his was a very practical adventure in research. And that's today's Adventures in Research, produced in cooperation with the Westinghouse Research Laboratories. These programs are broadcast to armed forces personnel overseas through the facilities of the Armed Forces Radio Service. Join us again next week for another transcribed story of science on Adventures in Research.